have outpatient treatment, which means they never went to the hospital first, but they were under the mental health division supervision as worked out with their county, and they could also be revoked. Or the judge, without committing them, as I understand it, to the mental health division's custody, could directly put them in the custody of friend, relative, or guardian, and that would be conditional release, in other words. But what that exists now, the judge has that option, but there's no teeth in it. There's no one, they're not directly given to a designated person. That designated person, if the allegedly mentally ill person is failing to follow through with conditional release terms, there's nothing they can do to revoke them and bring them back in without starting a brand new proceeding. So as I recollect, what's added here is similar to what's done with trial visits and things, is there is an actual way to revoke the conditional release in a hearing that designates a person responsible to do that, and it just puts teeth into it so it will be a viable option, because it's a good one to have.
So. Actually, this section, though, is line 19 through 26 with a style amendment, and the section that...
What page are you on?
On line 14. Line...
On page 14?
Yeah.
Lines 19 through 26. Yeah, I got it.
What section 18 does is take those lines and change the style in which they're accomplished, and Kingsley's absolutely right. Later in the bill, it prescribes procedures for outpatient commitment that are precisely the same or about the same as trial visits.
Section 19.
Section 19 establishes the provisions for outpatient commitment.
Is this something brand new?
And this is new. Line 16 through 34 is new. And says that we can only make this placement if an adequate facility is available, and that we have to establish conditions for outpatient commitment. And this parallels the way the current trial visits statute reads. When somebody leaves the hospital early, we establish conditions, designates the facility or service, provides for making copies of the conditions available. And then makes a provision for modification of those conditions if during the course of treatment things change and the condition, it provides a procedure for modifying those. So in this instance, a person might be conditioned on outpatient commitment if they agreed that they would attend a day treatment program or continue to take their medication. But once they broke one of those conditions, later on here we'll see where they would go back to the court.
It's where a lot of the money will be gone. In this bill.
A lot of the money...
Oh,
yes. All of the money that's tied to criteria would be going into new community programs.
Outpatient commitment.
Yes.
There's money for that in your budget now.
Yeah.
You already have the money. It's not new money.
Tied to new criteria? You lost me there.
I may not understand your question.
The outpatient commitment means that somebody's committed, but they're not necessarily locked up.
Yes, that's right.
There has to be some funding to do that.
That's right.
So that was tied to criteria?
It's not. This will allow us flexibility to use existing services for persons who the court commits locally. and it would divert away from the more expensive option to the system, which would be away from the state hospital. So in that sense, it would be a more cost-effective to manage people in outpatient commitment, if at all possible.
What are we going to do in regard to that, money-wise? What's the executive department going to do, money-wise, on outpatient facilities?
The current funds available for those services, as these people would just take priority over some of the people who are now coming into those services, because they would be more at risk of hospitalization.
Why don't we take time out here for just a minute, and I will close the work session on 2324 and reopen the work session on 2294. Representative Dix.
Mr. Chair, I would ask for unanimous consent that
Representative Dix moves that we reconsider the vote by which we failed to pass 2294. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none. So ordered. Now 2294 is before us for a motion.
I moved it to full committee, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy moves 2294 to full committee. Is there further discussion? Representative Dix.
I would ask that Representative Miller just stepped out that he be allowed to vote when he returns on this.
Is he available?
Why don't
we just have
counsel? We can find him. That wasn't disclosed,
yeah. The full committee with a due pass recommendation. And I just remind committee members that there is a subsequent referral on this bill. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair, is this to refer or to reconsider?
This is to take it to full committee. It's the motion placed by Representative Bellamy to move the bill to full committee. There is a referral to Ways and Means attached to this. Further discussion? We call the roll.
Bellin?
Aye.
Bellman?
Aye.
Dix?
Hope?
Aye.
Allen?
No. Motion is adopted. Thank you for your patience. I'll close the work session on 2294, and we're back to 2324. And we were at section 19, which is a major part of this civil commitment bill. Am I correct?
Yes, this was one of the major things.
Is there further discussion? I think Dr. Bray's pretty well explained it.
We're on what section?
Section 19. Section 20, just move straight on.
Section 20 has to do with another method of commitment, the two-physician hold. This is where two physicians, and this is current language. The only addition comes on page 16. On line 3, where a warning is is described, so that the person gets the warning that the information for the could be used for further commitment. On lines 12 through 13, the new language has to do with the postponement and detention during postponement as provided in ORS 426095. So what basically this does is amend the two physician hold part of the statute to make it consistent with what's happening in some of the other areas.
Now, is this lines 19 through 21 current law placed somewhere else in the law?
Most all of section 20 is current. Which lines were you referring to? I'm sorry.
Lines 19 through 21.
On page 16? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I get shifted over to...
Yes, that was moved to page 23. Line 27 to 29.
Doctor, section 20 does what again?
Section 20 is the section that describes the two-physician hold. That's where a physician licensed to practice medicine in consultation with another physician can admit a person or detain a person if already admitted. And that is current statute. And all this does is introduce the warning that is new to this act so that the person receives that warning and provides for the period of postponement to find alternatives, lesser alternatives to the placement that that is provided for elsewhere in the other, in the new language in the other parts of the statute.
Okay. Comments? Let's move on to section 21.
Section 21 removes lines 23, 24, 25. It brackets out the old part of the law that if a judge having if the judge of the court having probate jurisdiction is absent from the county, that they can do an emergency commitment to the state hospital. The problem that the task force was addressing is that some counties have abused that, this part of the statute, which in effect means that the county doesn't have to do an investigation and the patient is taken to, say, Damish, which is in Clackamas County, and then that county becomes the county where the has to pick up the hearing, which provides problems for witnesses that come to the hearing because they may have to drive a distance from another county. And that was viewed as in Oregon in 1987 no longer necessary because the judges are in the counties, and that so it was the consensus of the task force to remove this section to stop that use of the law. This lines 26 through 30 continue something that we recall that section of the law was being used for, and that is commitment of land-based tribes, Native Americans, from a tribal council this was the way we made the connection so that a tribal council could make a commitment to Danish. And we didn't want to lose that capacity in solving this other problem. And that's why the lines 26 through 30 are there. That makes it explicit that a person from a reservation of Native Americans under federal law can be committed into our hospitals. So those are the reasons for those two changes. And down through line 30, that's the only substantive change. We've deleted emergency commitment and made it explicit that the reservations can continue to use it.
What does emergency mean?
In this context, it meant a person who was thought to be eligible for commitment, and the judge was absent from the county. That would constitute an emergency in this context.
But that's been deleted.
Because it was the task force's consensus that judges are available in the counties across Oregon now, and there's no longer a necessity of having that, and since it was being abused by some counties, that it would be removed from the statute so it could no longer be abused.
But it doesn't remove emergency, it just makes it applicable to Native Americans.
I guess I'm not seeing where the word emergency is.
On existing law, line 34. 35.
Okay. In this context, they'd have to meet the commitment criteria. But I don't think there's a definition in statute of emergency beyond that.
Would the, in lines 28 and 29, this section may be used as provided by agreement with the ruling body of the reservation? Would that be the only circumstances under which it could be used?
Yes.
In other words, unless the tribe would agree, this provision would be inapplicable.
Yes.
Okay.
They have agreed, and they didn't have holding facilities on the reservation, and we... this has been a number of years back. We attempted to work out a procedure with them where they could utilize Danish.
And the emergency has not been taken out of the law. It still exists. It would then mean a move to Danish and a further hearing after the emergency commitment under Section 22.
This would still be, that problem still exists, that there would be a problem of the Clackamas County Court having to pick up these cases. We met with the Clackamas County Court before, this has been a number of years ago now, when this procedure was adopted, and they agreed to do this because it doesn't happen very often. And since that time, I haven't had any complaints that it's problematic.
And that's effective a year later than the rest of this. It doesn't go into effect until January 89.
That was to provide the counties that are that are using, that don't have holding facilities, the time to develop them. It puts certain counties on notice that they need to develop holding, local holding facilities so that they can manage people in the same way that other counties are.
Meanwhile, they'll probably go on using Clackamas County under the emergency provision.
Until it becomes operative. Well, I think until they, once they develop facilities, they'll start using their local facilities, and there's an indication that the counties that we're concerned about are moving in that direction.
But they won't have the option after January 1st, 89, to have an emergency commitment.
Right.
Comments, committee members?
Let's move on to Section 22. We all understand 21A. Committee members, if you don't, you should.
This section discusses the hearing after an emergency commitment. By the what happens, two staff physicians examine the person and the process that's gone through. And the only substantive change here is to insert on line 12, ORS 426060,
which is?
I'm getting, excuse me. Oh, this was the section that provided that only attorneys could be judges by saying that...
Excuse me, Representative Hammond, that references back to a section in the beginning that took the commitment authority that presently resides in either the circuit court or the county courts and made it exclusive to the circuit courts.
And the costs incurred on line 15 through 18 are deleted, and then they shall be paid as on line 19, 426-250. Is that the county?
It depends. What 426-250 is the new cost section, and the drafter of the bill.
In here.
Yeah, the correct. As amended in here, what the drafter did was consolidate all the cost sections together into one section, so you could read through and see. But it did not change the allotment of the costs, except for something you've already taken care of with the examiners. So this appears in that section, is treated in that, in 426-250 as amended herein.
Line 16 through 18.
How is that amended now? 426-250.
Lines 16 through 18 are moved to ORS 426-250, which now contains all of the cost.
It's now section 26, page 20.
Okay, remind us when we get to section 26. Comments, committee members? Let's move on to 23.
Section 23 limits the emergency commitment period to 5 judicial days. If you look at line 23, it's limited to 5 judicial days. And then the other new language is that the court for good cause may allow a postponement and detention during the postponement as provided under ORS 426-095. Again, to get back to the general comments we made initially, the periods of hold were all different. In this case, it was 15 days, and another, and there was an attempt to get all of these holding period, not an attempt. This bill recommends that they all be 5 judicial days, and this is one place where that's occurring. The second thing that was provided was that if during that period there was an indication that they could find a less restrictive alternative for the patient, they could grant a postponement in order to find that, to preclude a commitment to a hospital. So that's all this does, is make this consistent with those other parts of the statute.
Comments? Let's move on then. We have 4 sessions in about 4 minutes, maybe less.
The next substantive change on that page is down on line 43 and 44, still on page 17. And it says that if the person is admitted, the community mental health program director of the county where the person is taken into custody shall immediately be notified of the admission, and so on. It's now confusing because the community program director of residence is the person that is required now, and they may be taken into custody in a different county, a distance from that, and it seemed much more reasonable to have the county program director in the county where the person is do this task. So that's simply it. The next substantive change in this section still 24 occurs on line 7 on page 18, which again makes this procedure consonant with the others that have the warning. Wait a minute, am I going the right direction here? Yeah. And the next change is on line 9, the notification of under ORS 426060 again. And then on line 19, again, the postponement and detention during the postponement period that I described before. Lines 21 through 31 were moved in the reorganization of the bill.
And they're in section 9, right?
They're in section 9. And that completes section 24.
Comments, committee members? Let's move on and hit section 25 if we can.
This is the mental health program director initiated hold. This is a new. This part of the statute was came in 1985, and the changes to this occur on page 19 again, where it's where the person is taken into custody that clarifies that issue. County Mental Health Program Director.
Is there anything different in this section than the one before?
No, these changes, as I read down through it, looks like it's all the same, making it the same, yeah.
I'd suggest we go on to 26.
Okay, further comments by the committee. We are under a call of the House, and let me just put it this way. I'd ask everybody's patience with us. I will attempt to get this committee excused from the floor, assuming we have enough other members, and we will come back and work here as long as possible, but not beyond 5 p.m., since there are those of us on this committee that need to come back for a hearing here at 6 p.m. We may not be able to get excused. In that case, I will personally come back and adjourn the meeting if we are unable to, but I think we will be. So if you just hang tight, you'll know within a few minutes whether we'll be able to get to come back or not. So we're in recess. Subcommittee of the subcommittee back to order, and I just want everybody here to hear that let's just plow through this. I'm sure that we will have a few members join us. I am informed that we'll probably get another call. When we do get another call, I'm just going to adjourn the meeting rather than keep us running back and forth from the floor. So why don't we try and proceed with where we're at?
Mr. Chairman, the next section is the